Hi, my name is Nicholas, and I am a former journalist for NRK. I was born in Belgium to Swedish parents who raised me in over 20 countries in Europe, Asia, and South America. English is not my mother tongue. English is not my native language. And I didn't live in an English-speaking country until I was 16 years old. English is, however, my first language. But I often wonder, what is English? Why can I hear the difference between an Australian, a Londoner, a Bostonian, or an African all sharing a common language? The English language has approximately 400 million native speakers worldwide and is recognized as the single most widely spoken global language. In this podcast, we will explore the nuances of English accents and pronunciation, together with five native speakers from all over the globe and a Norwegian professor of this strange and wonderful global language. Who knows? Maybe I'll learn something new about my first language. Today, I will be speaking to Bella from England and Raj from the US. Let's get into this. First of all, ladies first, Bella, tell me where you are from specifically, please.
So I'm from the city of Salisbury, which is in Wiltshire, and it's like quite a rural county in southern, southwest England. It's also not too far from London, about, you know, maybe an hour and a half on the train.
Right. Raj, I'm gonna jump over to you now. Tell me where you are from in the United States.
So I come from Boston, more specifically Cambridge, which, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is where like Harvard and MIT is. So that's mostly what I get recognized for. I'm from the small state of Massachusetts, which is one of like the most historically old states in the US. And then where I guess the largest city closest to us other than Boston would be New York, which is 4 hours south.
Because there is a very distinctive Boston accent, which I don't hear in you. What's the story there behind your dialect?
So the reason I don't have a Bostonian accent is because I primarily learned English from my parents, who don't have a Bostonian accent, and I've only lived in Boston for 5 years. That being said, I don't think the Boston accent is by any means rampant in Boston. Like, it's not like everybody's going around with a Boston accent, but you do learn a bit from it. Like, there's the classic Pak the Khan, the Havid Yad.
Exactly, yeah. Those I recognize.
Round out your consonants. And then we always have a bit of an interesting lexicon. The bubbler, the clicker, the whiffle. But I wouldn't say that it's as used in Boston as many would think it is, but you definitely hear it every now and then.
Quite heavily represented in especially gangster movies, in my case. But Bella, is there something about your dialect that another English person could pick up quickly and kind of point to your geographical origin?
Yeah, so I think if someone kind of listened to how I was speaking, they'd probably assume I was from London and some kind of southern part in England. I mean, I don't have a traditional accent from the southwest, because there are so many nuances in accents and dialects in England. My family in general and myself, people would probably pick up on a kind of more veering towards standard English type of accent, you know, the kind of like elongating the R's, like bath and things like that, and pronouncing T's on the end of words, and I don't know, like letter, just, you know, trying to pronounce things slightly more fully than skipping letters or skipping T's in the middle, things like that. So I'd say that's all they'd kind of pick up on, yeah.
So nobody from Salisbury would say butter.
Butter, yeah. I don't think you'd find many people saying that in Salisbury.
Am I wrong in suspecting that it's a sort of a posh English?
So, yeah, I think some of my friends that I have from kind of different areas in the country would kind of point me out as the posh one in the group at times, you know. And I don't like it when they say that, but I think that maybe my accent can kind of veer towards that at times, just because of the differences, and like not many people speak with renounced pronunciation, which is what the Queen's English is, and it's what people who are trying to imitate English language, English accent rather, might sound like. I think that's a very refined like portion of the population that talk like that. But when it comes to posh, then yeah, you could say that. I mean, I prefer well-spoken, but I mean, yeah.
Well, then we'll use well-spoken, which okay. which you certainly are. It's a very clear dialect. There's not a lot of local slang and stuff coming in. But would that be something that would pop up if you were speaking to somebody from the same street that you come from?
In terms of slang, I mean, I can't say I use much slang. I mean, at school, yeah, sometimes we use words like peng if something's like really nice, or you might say like, oh, like that's such a good fit, like as an outfit. But then again, I don't really use that. It kind of varies. I mean, I kind of use them for fun sometimes, not in a serious way, I suppose. So yeah, but there are some things that are just trends that I think in general everyone will say, no matter kind of what accent they take on, because they just go around in the media and people all over the like country are using these kind of trendy words that I mentioned, such as, you know, lit, like, oh, that's lit, or goat, greatest of all times, you know. But it, I kind of do it in a more joking way, I think.
I see. Thank you. Raj, are there things in your English that other Americans would pick up on and kind of hone in on and know about your social status or your geographical origin?
Yeah, I actually, so I don't think that a lot of the way I speak or my accent might give away that I'm from Boston, but I definitely think that some of the expressions or idioms I use might convey that I'm from New England, especially to someone that's not from New England. So like if I said something like bang a Yui for someone that takes a U-turn.
Bang a Yui.
Yeah, like if you're driving and then someone cuts you off for a U-turn, and you're like, did you see that guy bang a Yui?
You definitely would not say that in the UK. Bang has a different meaning.
All right. The fascinating thing about this is that it is the same language. It has the same origin, but at the same time, like just a simple word like bang can mean completely different things across the pond. Are there more examples of this? Possibly even things that put you in a situation where you have to kind of scramble to get out of it. Raj, have you experienced this with like using certain American or Bostonian words in England or with English people that were misunderstood?
I feel like, I mean, there's definitely some Bostonian slang that I use that probably goes a bit questioned, but I don't feel like I've ever been in like jeopardy to the point where I need to clarify myself and be like, whoa, that's not what I meant. but like someone might say the bubbler instead of a drinking fountain. Like those water fountains that you go for at school, or like a clicker instead of a remote control.
Mm. Have you experienced a tripping over a local word abroad, Bella?
I mean, I don't think I've experienced people not understanding certain words that I'm using because of the English I speak. Not in a negative way, such as, you know, I might say, oh, where's the loo? And when I say that, I'm asking, where's the toilet? But people don't generally get that. Or some Brits might be like looking for booze and they might ask, oh, is there a booze shops around here? And in that sense, they'd be referring to alcohol, for instance. And I think just there are certain instances like, I don't feel like I've gone into trouble with these things, but I don't know if people are saying things like bloody, you know, that's quite a colloquial slang phrase. It's not that kind of, it's not that bad. Like you could say, oh, that was bloody brilliant, and people wouldn't kind of perceive that badly. But if you say that somewhere else, then they might think, oh, why are they using that word? Like, that's kind of strange. Like, why they say bloody brilliant or bloody hell kind of thing. But we kind of say it in more of a triumphant sense, I think.
Do you think, Raj, that if you were to speak to someone who wasn't a local, would you adapt your English? Would you drop all of your local phrases? And is there even prejudices towards these local Boston accents, do you think, in other parts of the States?
So I don't think I've ever spoken with a very extreme Boston dialect, but I definitely use a bit of American slang that, especially coming now to this boarding school where there's people from all around the world, there were a lot of times when I'd talk and people were like, there were five words in that sentence that you did not say well, or that I didn't understand. So now I've kind of corrected the way I speak English to the point where I don't use any of this American slang. And I came back to the US for winter break, and people were telling me, oh, you speak so different now. And I was like, yeah, that's because I was, you know, bullied for 3 months for speaking American slang. So now I just don't use American slang anymore.
So it's slowly cleaning it out of your daily use?
I think so. I mean, I'm still very American in the way I talk, I think. I just don't use any Bostonian slang. Like, I was looking through general Bostonian slang and I was like, oh my God, it's been ages since I've ever said bang a Yui. Or pissa. Like, I don't use those words anymore.
Yeah, you do like them.
Yeah, you're still getting a giggle out of Bella. what is your impression of Bella's dialect? Does that tell you anything about her or make you create a certain image of her or where she could be from?
Well, if I'm being completely honest, I don't really have a great sense of geographical knowledge of dialects in the UK. So I will admit that I heard her dialect for the first time, or her accent, and I thought that was a very interesting British accent, but I didn't read too much into
interesting.
It.
Interesting. What's interesting, Raj?
Like, it's just
intriguing,
not
maybe?
Typical. Yeah, intriguing. There you go. Get me in a little less trouble, please.
Yeah.
I didn't read too much into it. I do, like, subconsciously think that it is a bit posh, but it's in a very reserved part of my mind.
We mean well-spoken, of course, Bella.
Yes, well-spoken. Yeah. That's
yes,
what I meant.
Posh is our slang for well-spoken.
Exactly. Yeah. That was Bostonian slang.
Sure. Yeah.
What about you, Bella? I mean, even just listening to Raj and listening to me, does it paint a picture of who we could possibly be, what kind of guys we are, where we could be from?
That's an interesting one, because I think for me, I find it quite hard to know. Like, I didn't really know there was much difference in the American accent depending on where you were, apart from maybe, you know, Texas as opposed to somewhere like California. So when I hear your accents, I would kind of just kind of think it's an average, you know, like, male American accent to have. And you know, I remember as a child, when I was growing up with my sisters, we used to always try and imitate American accents for fun and just like say certain phrases. Because
give me an example, please.
Oh, really? Okay, well, we used to say things like, oh my God, that's totally awesome. Like, Karen, oh my God. Just things like that. Like, we used to just play around, because there's this, I think there's always been this kind of, like, the Brits tend to see themselves as maybe a bit more hardy. We have their kind of, like, darker, more maybe wittier sense of humor. And that's definitely something I notice between the Americans. The humor is, they just don't get our humor, you know?
Okay, guys, I'm just going to throw some words at you here, which are kind of like famous for meaning two different things. And it will be cool if you guys had some example as well. But Bella, yeah. Our pants.
Oh no, don't. I was talking to Raj about this as well. That's one thing I found awkward when I was coming to UWC, and everyone was like, oh, I love your pants. Like, those are such cool pants. And I was like, what? Like, you can't see my pants right now. This is kind of concerning. Because pants for us is underwear. It's not trousers. Trousers and jeans, that's what Americans call pants. But yeah, like I said, pants for us is the thing beneath the trousers. Yeah.
What about chips, Raj? What are chips to you?
Oh, like Pringles or Lay's.
And Bella?
Like the crunchy potato things.
Chips are what we get in the pub, and they are like fat fried potato fingers, and you dip them in ketchup.
All right, so if Raj asked for chips, he would get French fries.
Yes.
But if you came and you asked for crisps, then you would get something else entirely again.
I mean, crisps for us are the Walkers ready salted crisps traditionally, or like you said, Lay's, you know, anything, Pringles. We don't say chips.
Thank you to Bella from Salisbury and Raj from Boston. Let's again check in with Anna Dahl, Associate Professor from the Department of Language and Literature at NTNU, to talk about British English and American English. Hello again. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
So British English and American English have many, many dialects. Let's focus on Bella first. She is to me a great example of a classic form of British. I mentioned the word posh. She preferred well-spoken. Might Bella's variant of English be a sort of ambassador of proper English?
Well, I think it's what many people see as an ambassador for proper English. I would say it's more of an ambassador for a relatively standard British English, which isn't any more proper than any other English. So as you kind of indicated, talking about British English, that's just not one thing. But when we talk about British English and when we compare it to American English, we very often think of a variety of British English similar to hers.
Yes. She was quite aware of how her English is perceived. Do you think it communicates a form of class?
Sure. I mean, Britain is still, a country where class is important in a way that it isn't, for example, in Norway. Mm. And your dialect and your accent definitely gives away your class. So even if you're speaking a regional dialect, if you speak a northern dialect of British English, for example, if you're well-educated and posh, then it's very likely that you will still also speak a more standard variety of English, or maybe only the standard variety. Mm. So compared to Norway, for example, regional dialect is more connected to lower class, working class, and it's not as common to just stick to your dialect where you're from, the way that it is in Norway.
We also spoke to Raj. Now, he's from Boston, but didn't have a clear Boston accent. The accent has a certain vowel sound, as we know from popular culture, which he didn't have. But he did use some Boston slang. What is it about the Boston accent that makes us able to place it geographically?
Yeah, so they do have these weird vowels, and again, I'm not a speaker of Bostonian English at all, but they have this classic thing where they talk about pak the ka, and they have a slightly different vowel type than most general American, and that's one of the few places in the U.S. where you can specifically talk about a dialect in a city in the U.S. that's not very common. But of course, Boston is one of the first places that developed as a city in the U.S. So there was time there for a separate dialect to develop, and you can see it. So if anyone watches the old show Cheers, Cliff, I believe his name is, the character who's a mailman, he has a very strong accent like this, and also someone like Mark Wahlberg, who is from Boston, often uses that dialect in his movies, at least when the character is supposed to be from Boston.
Boston is one of the oldest cities in the States. So I'm wondering, how do these local accents come to be? Has a certain demographic influenced it?
I think so, probably. So in the U.S., you know, there were before it became the U.S. So while it was still the 13 colonies, there were basically two main centers of you know, colonists, English speaking populations, and one was in the Boston area, and the other one was in the South. Mm. So from Virginia onwards on the East Coast, those two communities, people came from different places in the UK, and also they interacted with, you know, different locals, and also immigration was different. So, for example, Boston has had a really large group of Irish immigrants. So there were a lot of Irish Americans in Boston, which you just don't find in the same way in the South. Whereas in the South, of course, there was more contact with other languages because there was a slave trade there and so on. But also people came there with a different dialect to begin with, because it was kind of different people who moved there.
Would you have the same identity issues or class issues in the US as in the UK?
To some extent. I mean, the US is completely different in terms of class. It doesn't have that old class system that that Britain does.
We also had a lot of fun discussing some words that sound the same but mean completely different things, like pants, for example. Can you say something about how these words come about? I mean, they're both clothing, but they are different pieces of clothing.
They're very different pieces of clothing. Yeah. I mean, this, I think it is important that they are actually, they are actually still similar words. They're not completely different, because they are not just a piece of clothing, but they're a piece of clothing that covers the lower part of your body. Mm. Chips is another example, right? It still means literally a chip, a small piece. In both the US and the UK, and they mean a small piece of potato. It's just that they don't really agree on how big the piece and you know, whether it's crispy or not, but they're still clearly, obviously related words.
Thank you again so much for your time, Professor Anna Dahl.
Produsert av Både og for NDLA.